a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you on the funnest day of the week. Good morning, Ton.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I don't think we're going to see the sun today, though.
It doesn't sound like it.
No.
This morning, I did catch a pretty good picture of the moon.
Oh,
I put
it
on our KSL Insta. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I saw some open sky, so at least we got that.
For a minute.
Yes.
You know, we need the water, so we're going to embrace that fact.
We do. I had about half inch of snow this morning, just a skiff.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. But any snow we can get at this point.
Right. And so we're going to embrace the morning with snowdrops this morning because they're sunny, even if we don't have a bit of sunshine today. I love that as the plant of the week. Such pretty little flowers, the snowdrops.
They are. They need to be planted in the fall, along with all of our other spring blooming bulbs. But their claim to fame is that they are among the first spring flowers. They're often out in early March, sometimes late February. And they come up with these, you know, pretty little flowers, and they're hardy down to about 5 degrees.
They just don't last long enough.
They don't.
That would be my complaint. That's where you have to plant a lot of different bulbs or put a variety of plants so that you have, you know, that color or that flower.
Correct. And so they're one that you don't want to plant everywhere, but patches of them in your, you know, flower beds or in your rocks, if you have rock walls or anything along those lines, will give you some of the earliest spring color. And so it's one that I think fits in to a well-selected mix of flowers so that you have flowers. I mean, it's possible to have flowers from March until November in the yard. And so this is one that can be used. You know, Maria, there's many what are referred to in industry as minor bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many of them that are spring bloomers that are quite pretty. I think most of our listeners are familiar with grape hyacinth, which can get a little out of control. They're not horrible, but they can.
I say no. I've got some in my lawn, so I'm saying no.
Yeah. And so they need to be kind of contained and watched. And I'm not recommending planting them, but if you do, be aware they will spread.
They are so pretty, though.
They are.
But if you can keep them as far away from, lawn, then you're fine. You need some sort of boundary.
Yeah. And so, I mean, among these other spring minor bulbs, and we're only calling them minor because the flowers are smaller and they're not quite as popular as the tulips and daffodils and hyacinths. But you've got Glory of the Snow, which is often referred to as Chionodoxa. Then Winter Aconite, Eranthus is the Latin name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite is called Checkered Lily or Fritillaria. And fritillaria is another. And you can buy big ones with these that will get 2.5 feet tall. But then you can get smaller ones. And they almost look like an umbrella with flowers hanging down. They usually have white or purple, sometimes pink flowers. And we have native fritillaria here on our foothills, but you can also buy them. So there, I mean, there's a lot of things. Siberian squill, Grecian windflower. You know, there's a lot of these that you can get in the fall that really will dress up the yard. And where they're most effective is if they are used in masses. And so instead of just, you know, five, you might want to get 20 or 30 of them and then spread them out over a couple of feet and do a little patch here and a little patch there. And sometimes they will naturalize a bit, like the snowdrops, especially on the East Coast, have naturalized in several of the states, and they're just part of the environment now. It doesn't seem they've been very invasive, but and in your yard, you may get some of this with these too.
I think the reason the grape hyacinths are more invasive is the bulb is just so small.
It is.
It is a little bit harder to contain.
It is. And it's even if you try to, I knew somebody that had the dreaded Star of Bethlehem flowers, and she went to the point of getting one of the, if you've ever seen the mining sieves that you put soil on and shake back and forth, she did that in her garden. And it still didn't get rid of it because of seeds and things. And so you do need to be careful that, you know, you don't plant something invasive.
Right. One of the things I love about snowdrops and crocuses is that the bulbs last for so long. I can't even tell you what year I planted my snowdrops or some of my crocuses. And they have just become more abundant. They haven't taken over and they come back year after year.
Yes, and they are great for that. And, you know, if you
I can't
going,
say that for some of my tulips,
yeah.
Right?
The tulips, unless you plant species tulips or maybe some of the Darwin hybrids, you're going to get 3 or 4 years before they kind of peter out. And that's just normal for tulips. The daffodils and jonquils should last a long time. But many of these, because they're just what we'd call straight species plants to where they haven't been hybridized or bred and bred until we get these amazing flowers, but they don't last too long. A lot of these will last for a long time.
Is there anything that people do wrong when they're planting bulbs that they should consider?
Plant too deeply. You need to follow the instructions on that come with the bulbs. A lot of these minor bulbs are small, and so you don't want to go more than 2 or 3 inches.
Yeah, it's not like a tulip that's like 6 inches.
No, and sometimes even maybe a little more shallow. Now, within reason, if you get it close, a lot of times the bulb over time actually has the ability to kind of raise or lower itself a little bit in the soil through roots. But yeah, I think correct planting depth. And then in the spring, you know, we just don't want to overwater them. They can benefit maybe from a light application of some nitrogen. But the reason they come up so early in the spring is because during the winter we get snowfall and things, and there's some small amounts of added nitrogen and there's not other plants really competing with them. That's why they're hardy down to 5 degrees and they bloom well, is they're the first ones up. And so they take advantage of water and nutrients in the soil when nothing else is really growing.
You've talked about the benefits of planting them in bunches, but how close together, I mean, should we think about planting them? Because you don't, I mean, they do expand.
They do. And so if you only had 30 of them, I think they would be better off used in one patch, planted every 2 or 3 inches.
Okay.
And then you let them spread. And even if you can just get, you want to get under them and get a few shovelfuls of soil or something and move them that way to new spots after 3 or 4 years, that is an option.
So a couple inches apart for each bulb.
Yeah, for these smaller ones. Now, if you were to listen, there used to be a gentleman that was over the Ogden Temple grounds that would plant tulips every few inches for the just the sure show of it, because it was kind of a showpiece. And Thanksgiving Point has the Tulip Festival coming up that they will do stuff along the same lines. And so, but if you do that and leave them in the ground, they need to be lifted for like the tulips more often and divided, because if you, they crowd out, then they will either slow down or stop flowering.
Oh, and that would be a tragedy.
It would be.
All right. And you can find out a lot more about the snowdrops. So we've put an article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Happy to tell you that our text is working again, Tom.
I noticed that.
I sent a test and it happened immediately. And I was very excited about that. So we are taking your calls and questions right now, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be back with more on the KSL Greenhouse.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning. 801-575-8255, the number to call, or you can text us at 57500. We do have a question already on our Facebook Messenger too, Ton. This person would like to know, when is it time to put down chelated iron?
Chelated iron should go down in mid to late March. So the if you're using like Miller Farrah Plus, it has instructions on how to do it according to the width of the trunk. And instead of digging little holes all over your yard, you would mix it up in a big bucket or several buckets, depending on the size of the tree, and spread it out under the canopy of the tree.
All right. When is it safe to plant peonies?
Well, they can be divided in the fall if you already have them in your yard, or as they become available in the spring. So a lot of garden centers will get the little starts, the basically the crowns, that you can plant in April. And you can do that a few weeks before danger of frost. But you can also buy the potted peonies, and some people prefer to do that just because they're already up and going.
Yeah, it takes quite a while for them to start blooming.
It does. And so those you can plant as they're available. Now, sometimes nurseries will put out plants through April because we'll get warm patches, but you need to be aware that they could need to be covered if we get freezing temperature. But anything you plant out at that time of year that, you know, isn't super hardy when it's actively growing will need to be covered also.
Right. Just to make sure that you don't plant them too deeply. That was my mistake.
Yes.
Let's take a call this morning. Bill is in Sugar House. Good morning, Bill. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Yeah, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Our area, we've got a lot of grape hyacinths, and, you know, I can keep them cleaned out of the flower bed, just pulling them up, tilling them out and stuff, but they move out into the grass. Once they move out into your grass, is there any way to get rid of them short of killing the grass?
Not really. Once they're in there, the problem you run into is that they are so waxy, there's a waxy coating, that anything you would try to spray would kill them. So one thing you could try is letting them grow up above the grass and then carefully mowing high so you don't cut the grass, and then just getting what's called a wicking wand. And it looks like a hockey stick with a sponge on the bottom. And you would put some Roundup in there, and it'll have instructions on how to mix it. And then you just run that wicking wand back and forth over the freshly cut tops. But otherwise, what you've been doing is about the option.
Right.
That wicking wand, you're kind of wiping the Roundup on top of the grape hyacinth. Right?
Yes, the freshly cut grape hyacinth. And so you're going to have to try to set your mower high enough to nip the tops off so that you have some bare tissue, and then someone going right behind you and just sweeping that back and forth trying to keep it off the grass.
Okay, well, I'll give it a try then. So.
All right, Bill, well, thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Thanks for your show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so, Tom, I told you I had a few of those grow into the lawn, and I just tried to keep them under control by digging them out when I saw them. But other than that, it's tough.
It is. And when you start getting into cutting the top half inch off and trying to run something over the top and not getting it on the lawn, you know, it's probably worth not planting them if they're in an area where they can't naturalize a little bit, or you're going to be out there with a screwdriver or something similar, like, you know, a dandelion popper, trying to get them out so that you can just keep them contained where you want them.
Yeah, it's exactly what I've done too.
One thing that you might do every once in a while, you will see barriers that you can purchase, plastic rolls that you can line a flower bed with that will be about 6 inches deep. And those would probably keep those grape hyacinths contained within the flower bed at least. A 3-inch one, I'm not sure if it would do it, but something going 6 inches, I imagine would.
Right. Yeah. And if you love them, that's definitely what I would do before planting them. Let's see. We have our next listener wants to know, they have weeds growing in their flower beds already. If they spray them with Roundup, will it work at this time of year?
It needs to be 50 to 55 degrees during the day when Roundup is sprayed for it to be effective. It will take longer. If it's colder than that, the plants aren't really actively growing and they may scorch the top off the plant eventually, but it won't translocate into the roots very well.
Okay, so you need to wait a bit.
Yes.
Can you suggest a type of evergreen or possibly arborvitae as to, like, that's 10 to 12 foot sound barrier in sandy soil and in full sun? Wow, that's
sandy soil, you're pretty much wide open. Okay. Now, 10 to 12 feet is going to be a little bit of a problem because most of the junipers and arborvitae that are going to be tall and narrow will get up to 15 to 20. So I don't know. I mean, eventually they could prune them a little bit if they knew what they were doing, but there are several varieties of juniper, skyrocket being one of them. There's others that are more narrow yet. They will need to be wrapped in the winter. Just the standard, emerald green arborvitae is the one that is you see around, but to keep it to 10 to 12 feet, that one's a little tough. Now, if they were willing to wrap things, they might be able to use something like straight talk privet, or there's another, it's a buckthorn, tall hedge buckthorn, or fine line buckthorn, but in the winter, all of those would need to be wrapped up.
You are so nice to not correct me when I totally ruin
well,
a word.
The problem is I'm not. Okay. In the Pacific Northwest, they call them arborvitae.
Oh, well, and the spelling is interesting. So
it is.
In my defense.
Yeah, the best we can do is arborvitae. That's kind of the Utah pronunciation. And if you're from the Northwest or East, or arborvitae. So.
Okay, well, thanks for being kind and not correcting me.
For all I know, you are correct and I'm wrong.
Let's take a call from Bart this morning. Good morning, Bart.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing?
Yeah, any better, and I couldn't hardly stand it.
Oh, my.
Hey, listen, Don, as the extension service changed that date of the average for the last frost in the valley?
No, they haven't.
It's still the 15th of May?
Yeah, that's kind of just around Mother's Day is.
Well,
you know,
I had heard that they moved it to the 1st. But I don't want to be giving all the people that call me false information.
Yeah, the Climate Center, I have heard nothing, but it's going to greatly vary because one of the earliest places that the average last frost in the Valhalla subdivision up on the Bountiful Bench is like April 20th or April 15th.
Right.
But the airport.
Well, it depends on the location.
Yeah.
Like I tell everybody, everybody's backyard is a microclimate anyway.
Yeah, it is.
And then on pruning. Mm-hmm. I was out yesterday pruning, and I remembered a tip. If you prune peaches, peaches are always born on last year's new wood. So you take off all of last year's new wood, you aren't going to have many peaches.
It'd give your bride a day off, I guess, or whoever does the canning.
Yeah, whoever does the canning. But me, I like to eat them, so I'm careful for that. And then another thing is when thinning pears and apples, if you remove the spur, you're not going to have any apples in that place. And if you just grab them and pull it off, many times you'll remove the spur.
Yeah.
So I always use shears to prune to thin the apples.
Yeah. Now, are you and Golden offering a pruning class this year?
No, we're not. We kind of give that up. But we are. I've got tomatoes ready to go on the ground next week.
Wow.
All right. You're way ahead
prepared.
Of me, Bart. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm still eating the ones from last October, so.
Well, you always amaze us on that. Thanks for your call this
morning,
Bart.
Guys.
You have
Thanks,
a great
Bart.
Day. Bart does bring up an interesting point about climate change, though, and hotter temperatures and, you know, the last day of frost. I don't usually plant any annual until after Mother's Day, just to be safe. Anything I plant before that, I make sure we have walls of water or something to protect them.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times you can get away with this April planting. And as
I've
long
had
as the
my
weather
heart
holds,
broken too
yeah,
many times.
But you're either going to end up covering, or if we get, so let's say we're in the 40s and 50s every day, those plants are just going to sit. And so there's, you know, when we have like Brian on from Olson's, there's a few things you can get out a little earlier that are a little bit more cold and frost tolerant. But in general, around that Mother's Day is the standard time to start putting gardens and warm season annuals in.
Right. And the number to call. We're going to take a break for the news. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.